It is the Brett Witterbull Show, News Talk 1110-993 WBT, where we chart the ways and means of the devious motives of the political class. It is great to be here with you. 704-570-1110. I am quarantining today, ladies and gentlemen. I am quarantining from the We the People studios. And the reason why I'm quarantining, nothing to do with COVID. I got my shot. I mean, I'm like totally solid in that regard. I just figured, having been in New York over the weekend, I needed a quarantine so that none of the liberalism I was exposed to might potentially rub off on innocent people in this beautiful, beautiful community of the Queen City. It is great to be here. I had a blast broadcasting on Thursday from the Northern Command of the Rush Limbaugh Empire, the EIB. It was a lot of fun. It was a great way to wind it down. Then I headed over on Friday to the Talkers Convention, and I saw some of the great people, the great patriots that are out there spreading the word, evangelizing liberty and freedom. Bill O was there, Bill O'Reilly. You hear him every day here at 11:45. And, of course, Brian Kilmeade was there as well. Sean Hannity made an appearance, a number of other folks. It was a very productive get-together. And let me rest any doubts in anybody's mind. I have to tell you something. People from all over the country come in, talk show hosts, producers, different people like, heads of broadcasting companies. Every time I walked up to anybody and I had my my name badge on with WBT Charlotte, big smile on everybody's face. Jim Bohannon was thrilled to see us. Everybody that I ran into loves this radio station from across the country, and I'm absolutely serious when I say it, and it couldn't be more sincere. Next hour, we'll check in with Michael Harrison put on that convention. I want to get his thoughts on some of the stuff that we're seeing out there. Talk radio has had the obituary written for it for decades, and it's not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We are more vital than ever before as we move into hour number two, awaiting Joe Biden's remarks at the NATO summit. And that's where I find us starting off in this program today. Biden has a problem. He's got a serious problem. And this is not a cognitive commentary. This is not a commentary about Alzheimer's or any of that sort of stuff. You'll note if you listen to my program on a regular basis, that's not a card I like to play. That's not a card that I'm really comfortable playing. I don't go after Hunter for being a drug addict. I'm not going to go after Joe Biden for any cognitive issues that he's got. He's got political issues. And those are the things I want to drill down onto. So Joe Biden has a problem. We've never seen an American president go over to the NATO gathering or over to the G7 gathering and be managed by the Europeans the way Biden was over this weekend. It was really incredible. One of the people that I felt personal disgust at watching was Emmanuel Macron, a guy who was famous last week for getting slapped by a what was that guy all about? The guy who slapped him? I think he made swords or something. He was one of these Middle Ages LARPing nuts who reached out and slapped Emmanuel Macron. I have a very low opinion of Emmanuel Macron and have had that for quite a period of time. Emmanuel Macron treated Joe Biden like he was feeble, like he was feeble, like he was weak. He was praising Joe Biden the way you would a long lost relative or friend that you run into at the home. And it was off-putting as all hell. And I got to be honest with you. The only reason Emmanuel Macron and that other weirdo Boris Johnson and the whole lot of these rotten European leaders, the only reason why they were happy to see Joe Biden at that summit was because he represents the weakening of America. And it's really that simple. A guy who goes to this NATO summit, a guy who goes to this this G7 meeting where the first order of business is climate change. I'm sorry, that's not the first order of business. Russian aggression is the first order of business. Chinese intransigence is the first order of business. But climate change is so far down the list, it's well beyond any of the issues that we ought to be dealing with in a serious way. I get it. Biden's not an American in the traditional sense. He's of Washington. And that's important to understand. Vladimir Putin said this himself. In fact, I have the audio and I'll play it for you in a little while. Putin says of Joe Biden, he's a career man. He's a career man, meaning he's been in government since it was cool to wear bell bottoms. He's been in government since 1972. We're talking about the year that McGovern was nominated for the presidency of the United States for the Democratic Party. That's how far back Joe Biden goes in terms of politics. The only patriotic career men are usually people in the military. Usually. If you're a political career man, it means one thing, that you long ago sold your soul. We've already seen it with the graft and the grifting by Hunter Biden and the fact that Joe's known as Mr. 10%. But watching Joe Biden go to this meeting and be celebrated, be feted, be told by a cretin like Emmanuel Macron that you're in the club now, that is not an elevation for American stature. If this group of socialists, neo-socialists, and wannabe socialists, if this group of people is celebrating your leadership, there's something wrong with your leadership. Because you're doing what they want. You're talking climate change and Nord Stream 2 and not American strength. Vladimir Putin is a high-ranking KGB official. I have no doubt in my mind, zero in my mind, that he has reams and reams of files on President Biden. There's a deeper problem here. The face we're putting to the world is dangerous. America has been fundamentally transformed in fewer than 150 days. We are defending known anti-Semites in the Democratic Party. Clackers herself going on State of the Union this weekend. Nancy Pelosi defending Ilhan Omar and the squad's attacks on Israel. We have high-profile members of the Democratic Party who are varying degrees of raging anti-Semites, period. End of discussion. Biden got a big win this weekend. Bibi Netanyahu's now out of power in Israel. Joe feels like he's got a clear pathway to capitulate to Iran. I've got thoughts on that straight ahead. Important thoughts. We'll take your phone calls as well. 704-570-1110 on Twitter. At Winterable Show. It is great to be back in the Queen City. I am Brett Winterable, News Talk 1110.993 WBT. Boomer Von Cannon.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we are on fire, baby.
Bell bottoms, huh?
Bell bottoms, man. He's got bell bottoms and he's got bread and ambrosia. Yes. It's not a feast.
Earth
it's a
shoes.
Feast of soft rock.
You get some earth shoes.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterable Show. Let's dive into some of the great tasty sound from across the weekend. Yesterday, President Joe Biden was doing a press availability and was talking about the COVID. And he essentially said that there are people who don't really know about the COVID. Cut number one, go.
Project, which is that COVID is, I know you all know, but a lot of people may not know what COVID is. That is a system whereby they're going to provide funding for states to be able to get access to vaccines on their own.
Okay, so Joe Biden thinks that people don't know what COVID is. That's why you're wearing the mask, Mr. President, even though you don't need it. And you've been vaccinated now for the better part of 6 months. Apparently, he thinks people are confused about COVID. 11 million people lost their lives because of what went on in Wuhan, either on purpose or through grave, grave negligence. I don't think anybody's confused about the COVID. Cut number two. This is French President Emmanuel Macron. So happy, so happy that Joe Biden's finally cooperating with the EU. Go.
We have to deal with this pandemic and the COVID-19. We have to face a lot of challenges, a lot of crisis, climate change, and for all these issues, what we need is cooperation. And I think it's great to have the U.S. president part of the club and very willing to cooperate. And I think that what you demonstrate is that leadership is partnership.
Okay, raise your hand if you know why he's saying that it's good to have a president that's cooperating. Partnership is leadership, and leadership is partnership. Why do you think that is? It's because Joe Biden took a knee and went with the climate change as the number one threat to Europe. Really? I mean, that's All it comes down to is climate change. If you utter the phrase, climate change is my personal Lord and Savior, you will be beloved across the European Union. They will hold you up as a great person, at least in the western part of Europe. Over in Eastern Europe, over in Hungary, the Czech Republic, Bulgaria, over in that end of things, they see the threat for what it is, which is Russia. Russia and China and radical Islamic terrorism. But if you utter the phrase, if you say, climate is my personal Lord and Savior, you will be allowed into the Euroweenie Club. Cut number three, President Biden says, America's back. We're back. And the way you know that is we're working with the EU again. Cut three. The
United States, I've said before, we're back. The U.S. is back. We feel very, very strongly about the cohesion of NATO. And I, for one, think that the European Union is an incredibly strong and vibrant entity.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a strong and vibrant entity as long as you're carrying the bill for them. Yes, then they are strong and vibrant. When you ask them to be held accountable for their contributions, and even Jens Stoltenberg came out and said, basically, listen, we have got to ensure that all the members of NATO are paying the percentages they are supposed to pay to get into this position, to be a part of this security framework. You have a mess on your hands. But if you ask them to pony up the money they need to pony up to secure the Western alliance, then you're a bad guy. But as long as you are paying, everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. And not only are we now paying all the freight, courtesy of Joe Biden's access to the checkbook, but we're paying the freight. And on top of that, we're letting the Russians come right in with that Nord Stream 2 pipeline. There is absolutely no justifiable reason for that to be the case, especially if you are a Euroweenie who is afraid, desperately, deathly afraid of fossil fuels. What do you think is being transported in that pipeline? No, it's not filthy, dirty crude oil. It's natural gas, which is a fossil fuel. It's remarkable. I mean, it's absolutely remarkable. So Joe Biden runs around and says, we're back, baby. We're totally back. We're all the way in the club. They really like me over here. I'm really terrific. It's fantastic. Now, I'm going to let you hear the flip side of the coin coming up here in just a little bit, because I want you to hear all the big, tough talk coming out of this administration when it comes to the Russians. It's all talk, and Vladimir Putin understands that. In fact, Vladimir Putin sat down for an interview with NBC News on Saturday, Friday, Saturday, and you'll get to hear from Putin, and you'll get to hear what he says. And this is a guy who's operating at a different level. I am not a fan of Putin. I do not root against my country. I do not root against America's interests. I don't. I believe America is a universal force for good, despite what the anti-Semites and the Democratic Party say. But America needs to be led by a strong person who isn't going to take a knee in front of that altar and become a full-blown convert to worshiping climate change. That's not who we are as a people. It's not who we are as a country. But what you have in the current administration are a group of people who believe in throwing stones and throwing bones at the moon because it is an angry God.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show on News Talk 1110 99.3 WPT. Great to be here with you.
It is wonderful to be here with you. Hey, check out this idiot that just put a tweet out about me. Can I read this to you guys? Okay, here we go. This is a tweet that just came to me, and I'd like to encourage everybody maybe to reach out and say howdy to this guy. Obviously, he has no idea what he's talking about. He goes by the handle on Twitter, LD Wade, LD Wade, W-A-D-E. And he hits me up on Twitter just about 60 seconds ago. Listen to this. This is really hilarious. For months, we've listened and cringed as that colossal dolt Brett Winterble, while trying to be as silly as Kamala, referred to the, quote, migrants crossing our southern border. Over and over, it was migrants, migrants, and migrants. For that reason, his hypocritical diatribe today against letting the left shape our public discourse by calling them immigrants was as insulting as if he were spitting in the face of listeners to the hollow vacuum that once was the Rush Limbaugh show. Did not help that the counterfeit punk cited, quote, a friend of mine who uses the term PHI. Philly? Philadelphia? Oh, no, people here illegally. Neat trick, Brett. You managed to sneak in the concept of illegal by blaming it on an anonymous friend. Winterbowl is not just counterfeit. He is a gutless salamander. L.D. Wade needs to be informed of the fact that I did not host the Rush Limbaugh show today. I think it was Ken Matthews, if I'm not mistaken. So he's obviously got a beef with Ken Matthews. But this guy decided he was going to light me up on Twitter. So if you go to my Twitter, you'll see him posted there. Please remind him that I did not host the Rush Limbaugh show today. I concluded on Thursday. Now, I don't know where L.D. Wade is, but he's got 234 followers. So he's obviously inconsequential to somebody, no doubt. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It's wonderful to be here with you. I just wonder about these guys. They get so caught up in their lunacy. My arguments are sound and cannot be broken, by the way. I mean, that much is an absolute fact. They cannot be broken. Secretary of State Tony Blinken. Remember last week we were playing some Tony Blinken tunes for you where he was singing about, you know, I want to get down and dirty at 11:30. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, he laid down the gauntlet with Russia, says we're going to get real tough on Russia. Here's cut number four. Tony, down and dirty at 11:30, Blinken.
If it continues to take reckless and aggressive actions directed at us or our allies and partners, the president's going to make clear that we'll respond forcefully, as we did in the case of election interference, the SolarWinds cyber hack, the attempt to murder Mr. Navalny. So this is the beginning of testing the proposition about whether Russia wants a more stable, predictable relationship itself, and whether in some areas where there's mutual interest, we can find some ways to cooperate.
Okay, here's the deal. Let's be honest about this. This is important to point out. The Russians allegedly put Donald Trump into office. That was a narrative we got from the Obama-Biden administration, right? Because in 2016, the election was stolen from Hillary Clinton, the most qualified human being ever to run for office. Those are the words of Barack Obama. You had the Russians steal that election. What did you have Obama or Biden do to the Russians as a result of that? Remember what Barack Obama's claim to fame was? I saw Vladimir Putin in Shanghai in 2015, and I said, cut it out, knock it off. They didn't do anything about it. They didn't do anything about it. Tony Blinken was one of the bumbusters of Joe Biden when Joe Biden was the vice president, or the president of vice, depending on how you want to look at it. And Tony Blinken is as gutless and worthless as 3-day-old ramen noodles sitting in a pot. He's absolutely spineless, like his boss. And the fact of the matter is, we're going to talk tough with the Russians. The Russians don't take you seriously. You have to understand something here. The Russians are not taking any of the threats from Tony Blinken or anybody else seriously. Here, let me give you a great example of this, okay? Joe Biden, cut number 13, Joe Biden was asked a question by beta man himself, Peter Alexander from Messy NBC. And Peter Alexander, who's the White House correspondent, said, Joe Biden, would you think about possibly swapping cyber terrorists with the Russians if they asked you for that? What does Joe Biden say? He says yes. And here comes emo boy numero uno, Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, to clean it up. This is cut number 13. Go.
He said that Russia would be ready to hand over cyber criminals to the United States if the U.S. would do the same to Russia. So are you open to that kind of a trade with Vladimir Putin?
Yes, I'm open to, if there's crimes committed against Russia, I'm committed to holding them accountable.
The idea that responsible countries should be held accountable to not harboring cyber criminals and to bringing cyber criminals to justice. He's prepared to do that in the United States. He'd like to see Vladimir Putin do that. This is not about exchanges or swaps or anything like that.
Jake Sullivan has to clean up for Joe Biden when Joe Biden tries to assert a tough position by saying, no, Joe, we're not doing that. We're going to approach it differently. We're going to be a different kind of a guy. You know, it's one of those things. This is incredible to me on a lot of levels. The fact that you have to have this guy come in and clean up what the president of the United States said. And this is the same president who famously said, I can only answer one more question because my staff is telling me I'm not allowed to take people who are not on the list. What are you talking about? Sincerely, what are you talking about? That is a major, major faux pas in the extreme. Look, either Joe Biden is making policy or he's not making policy. But you've heard Joe Biden. You've heard him stumble and bumble. You've heard him lose his fastball. You've heard him drifting off into Never Never Land, where he's not making any sense when he's talking. Vladimir Putin, and it gives me no joy to say this, Vladimir Putin is going to absolutely destroy this guy when they get in the ring. It's why Joe Biden fears having a side-by-side press conference with him. He's not quick. He's not fleet of foot. He's not quick of wit. He's not any of the things you need to be in 2021 if you're the leader of the free world. He's none of those things. I wouldn't even trust him, frankly, standing opposite Javad Zarif, which is, I mean, that's practically a home game because, you know, John Kerry is super tight with the foreign minister of Iran. I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't trust Joe Biden going live side by side with Macron Jr., Trudeau. I don't think he's got the fastball. I don't think he's got the horses. That's a really, really disgraceful reality that we've got playing out here. Now, we'll see. He's telling people right now from NATO headquarters at 9:42 at night over in Europe that NATO leaders are thanking him for meeting Putin. Did those same NATO leaders thank Trump for meeting Putin? No, because Trump was making them pay up what they owed.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. You know what I say we need on a hot afternoon? Some Luscious Jackson. 704-570-1110. Great to be here with you. I mean, here's what I'll tell you right now. Okay, this is important. I could have had TJ play you some Abe Lincoln, but I felt like we really did a lot of Abe Lincoln last week. And we did what we could do to help out Tony Blinken on his record sales. So we switched over to Luscious Jackson on that one. Let me go out of the phones. I haven't talked to anybody on the phones yet. Let me talk to Tom first up. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett Whittemore, and I actually didn't know that guy who made that crazy text about you didn't know you weren't on today, because I actually thought I heard you today, too, so you and that guy sound a lot alike, man. I mean, he probably just going on your voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's entirely possible, I guess. I don't think I sound anything like Ken Matthews. I think Ken Matthews and Todd Herman sound a lot more alike.
Yeah, well, congratulations. You guys made the big time being on Rush Limbaugh, Ma Rushy, so I'm proud of you. But I called to tell you this, and I hope you'll take it in with a grain of salt. You were saying that Joe Biden was kind of off by saying people didn't know that there was coronavirus out there or COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you, you're talking about half of the Trumpeteers, Donald Trump supporters. They didn't believe in wearing masks when they had these big parties and gatherings and political things all over the country.
Yeah.
They just didn't believe it. So,
yeah. And here's the thing, though, Tom. But here's the thing. I get it. You sat back today and you said, okay, I'm going to stick it to the Trump people. Okay, you did. Good. Nice shot. I was speaking specifically about what Joe Biden said, where he's saying there are people who have not heard of the coronavirus. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to take that comment down. Are you going to take it down?
I will have to stick with it, man.
See you, buddy. Nice try. Tom, you got to be an A-class caller. Let me do this right now. I had to do this on the Rush Show last week. I'm going to do it now. If you want to be a great caller to talk radio, here's what you got to be. You got to be on point. If you want to call and say, I hate Trump supporters, just call and tell Josh or TJ, hey, it's Tom. I want to say something to the people of Charlotte. I hate Trump supporters. Then they'll put you up on the board, and we'll have a conversation about that. But what you did was you kind of cheaped out. Seriously, I don't need a dollar store call. I need a full-on high-content call. And that's what's got to happen. So you're going to have to go and call some other program. I would say maybe go try the tote bag and CD radio station for your donation. Maybe they want to hear your stuff about the Trumpeteers. Donald Trump's not president. I don't know that he's ever going to be president again. That all remains to be seen. You've got to move into 2021, man. Your guy is running the show. Joe Biden's running the show. And he actually just took a question from a real winner, asking him, do you think the Europeans know that America is an honorable nation? Are you kidding me? We pay the freight around the world. We came up with the coronavirus vaccine. We consistently defend democracy and republics around the world. Our Navy is a universal force for good. And I don't know that Joe Biden's even mentioned Flag Day yet. I really don't. I see him wearing an American flag. I think he's wearing a NATO pin on the other side of his shirt. You know, if you want to be a great caller, you got to be a great caller. You get to be a great caller. And I'm going to score it 5 out of 10. Now I'm going 4.3 out of 10. That's what I'm doing. And don't try to call back and try to get redemption, because you only get one shot at excellence. Terry is up next. Terry, welcome to the program.
Brett?
Yes, sir.
It's good to talk to my favorite radio host.
Whoa.
Just funny. And in my book, always on point.
Thank you, buddy.
If I had ever talked to Rush, you'd be number two on my most famous people I ever talked to list. But you're still number one because I don't get around much.
Well, wait. I thought you talked to Grandpa Al. I thought he was more famous than me.
Well, you went national. he was national. You went national.
But what did you want to know about Putin?
Why is Joe Biden not going to allow a press conference with the Russian dictator Putin? And I'll hang up and listen.
Because Joe Biden, all right, I'll tell you, keep listening. It's going to be a good answer. Joe Biden is strictly a solo act, all right? He doesn't have the ability to pivot and to be flexible the way Putin is. Putin's going to come at him in a lot of different ways, and many of those ways he's going to come at him, I don't think Biden is going to realize. Vladimir Putin is going to say one thing, and he's going to take advantage of the language to his own benefit. Let me give you an example of Vladimir Putin, okay? People always think of Vladimir Putin as this boogeyman. Vladimir Putin is a cunning guy. He's a dangerous, dangerous man, and not just because he wants to kill his adversaries and wants to kill his critics and wants to disable America on the world stage, but listen to Vladimir Putin. This is cut number 14 on being called a killer by a variety of presidents. Go.
When President Trump was asked, was told that you are a killer, he didn't deny it. When President Biden was asked whether he believes you are a killer, he said, I do. Mr. President, are you a killer?
Over my tenure, I've gotten used to attacks from all kinds of angles and from all kinds of areas under all kinds of pretext and reasons, and of different caliber and fierceness, and none of it surprises me. So as far as harsh rhetoric, I think that this is an expression of overall U.S. culture. Of course, in Hollywood, there are some underlying deep things in Hollywood, macho, which can be treated as cinematic art. But that is part of U.S. political culture where it's considered normal. By the way, not here. It is not considered normal here.
I don't think I heard you answer the question, the direct question, Mr. President.
I did answer.
I'll add if you let me. I've heard dozens of such accusations, especially during the period of some grave events during our counterterrorism efforts in North Caucasus. And when that happens, I'm always guided by the interests of the Russian people and Russian state. And sentiments in terms of who calls somebody whom, what kind of labels, this is not something I worry about in the least.
Vladimir Putin is famous for having said that the greatest catastrophe in Russian history was the collapse of the Soviet Union. He vows for that to never, ever happen again. What he gave you an answer to in that question was he effectively said, I'm Russia first. It's what he said. said, we don't have that culture of macho talk like Hollywood does. The fact that he took the shot at Hollywood is significant, and it's telling, because he understands better than anybody that Hollywood is the epicenter of the cultural rot in the West. It is the terminal illness that will wipe Western civilization out. And Vladimir Putin understands that. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, we put Russia first. We put our interests first. It's why he alludes to the Caucasus military operations back when he was fighting the Chechens. This guy is a deadly serious actor. I'm Brett Winterbull. Break all the stuff down that is going on out there. I know, I guess we got an EAS test there, or an EAS. Was that an EAS alert or a test? It was an alert, right? Because of a weather, thunderstorm warning? Yeah. Good to be here with you. I was just riffing the whole time. It was actually great. That was the best monologue. I hope you got that on tape, TJ. That was the best monologue I've done in probably 24 hours. So we're going to want to have that available. 704-570-1110 is the number to be a part of the discussion. Now, let me go over here for a quick second. So I want to give you a little A-B comparison of things. I mentioned in the beginning monologue of the last hour, which was absolutely dynamite, that there is a deep problem seated in the United States of America. And it is this explosion of anti-Semitism coming from some of the biggest agitators in American politics. Now, who do I mean by that? I mean the squad. Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are two of the folks who have, on a professional level, pushed this anti-Semitic take. We remember Rashida Tlaib saying a couple of years ago, the sense of peace she gets when she thinks about the Holocaust. And then she went back and tried to explain it. Ilhan Omar is a well-known repeat offender, famously saying that 9/11 was what happened when some people did something. And so as a result, CARE was founded. It's actually dishonest because CARE wasn't founded as a result of some people doing some things. The CARE existed in the 1990s. 9/11 occurred on 2001. So we have high-profile members of the Democratic Party who are, to varying degrees, raging anti-Semites. And this is an important point, and it's a hugely important point to think about here when we consider what's going on. Biden got a big win this past weekend. He finally got his life's wish. His life's wish was to get rid of Bibi Netanyahu from the leadership of Israel. In fact, remember, it was Barack Obama and Joe Biden who first interfered with foreign elections by trying to take down Bibi Netanyahu back once upon a time. You know, Netanyahu was in power for, 12 or 14 years. And so as a consequence, of that, you have a situation that getting Netanyahu out of power was vitally important for their plan. And their plan was to allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon. You know, it's a crazy thing to think about, but it's essentially true. Biden gets a big win because you end up with Naftali and Lapin coming in to take over the government in Israel. Netanyahu's now out of power. He's also being investigated in something that looks a lot like what Letitia James and Cyrus Vance are doing to Donald Trump. If you can't impeach him three times, then what you got to do is bring charges and hope that you can lock him up. Joe now feels confident more than ever that he has a clear pathway to capitulate to Iran. Iran is seeing what we see. And don't forget, when Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin sit down for that meeting, Vladimir Putin is the chief sponsor alongside Xi Jinping of the Iranian nuclear dream. It's easy for Xi to look at Europe and see that it is still in disarray. It is easy for Xi to sit there and say Biden is still weak. When asked about specific China policy, I'll get back to Iran in a second, the aluminum tariffs, he was puzzled. Joe Biden was puzzled and said, I've only been in office for 120 days. You know, we gotta get this done. What is it that Joe Biden wants? Joe Biden wants what Barack Obama got, And Joe Biden wants what Donald Trump was nominated for, which was a Nobel Prize. He feels that if he does a full-throated embrace of the climate nonsense that's out there, that he will be considered one of the great leaders in world history because he will have gotten us into the Green New debacle. And on top of that, if he gets Iran the cover they need to eventually develop an atomic weapon, he'll be celebrated as a factor for peace. Now, here's the thing. If he does push for the Green New debacle, and if he does push for allowing the Iranians to continue to get paid while they deploy their nuclear technology and enrich their nuclear technology, well, no doubt the Europeans will line up for that, because the Europeans, after all, have a long history of anti-Semitism going back, you know, generations. So if he gets nominated for the Nobel Prize for caving to Iran and doing the climate change, could he cash out early? Could he say, you know what, my job is done. I'm handing off the reins over to Kamala Harris. I'm going to let her take this boat out on a ride and do that sort of thing. I don't know. I don't know if that would be the case. But one thing is clear. He is doing everything he can on the international front to engender goodwill from the Euro crew, and also at the same time to try to capitulate to Iran and their allies. He hasn't said a cross word about Xi Jinping and the coronavirus. He says, I'm going to wait. I'm still waiting for the official report to come in from the agencies and the intelligence community to tell me what happened. Well, hell, the intelligence community knew that Donald Trump was in the pocket for Putin, you know, from the get-go. We gotta take a longer time to figure out what's going on with China. Really? I don't buy that for a minute. I don't buy that for a minute. I think what Joe Biden is going to do is he's going to go have his meeting with Putin. He's going to declare victory. He's not going to appear side by side with Putin because he doesn't want to be upstaged. And then he's going to go home and he's going to start working the phones with Xi Jinping. And he's going to say, listen, Xi, I know, you know, Fauci probably sent some money over there and we might have done gain of function and all that kind of stuff. But I'm working on peace with the Iranians. And I know you got a $400 billion deal with the Iranians to supply them weapons for oil. So what do you say we cut a deal? He's looking for the best possible deal for one Joseph Robinette Biden, not for the United States and its people. Seriously, how do I know? He hasn't done anything about the border. I've got thoughts on that straight ahead. Michael Harrison from Talkers. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is great to be here with you, and I'm happy to welcome to the program. We're going to go over to Michael Harrison. Oh, somebody didn't. Okay, we got to call him up, guys. Michael Harrison from Talkers is going to be joining us here in a couple of moments. Gives me an opportunity to say, you know, I was back in New York for that convention last week, and the hope is that we will be connecting with Michael here momentarily, sort of to talk about things. So it is a tremendous opportunity to catch up in that regard. 704-570-1110 is our number to be a part of the discussion, be a part of the conversation. And I am thrilled and honored to be here as always. On Twitter, you can always follow me at Winterbull Show, and on the Facebook page at the Brett Winterbull Show as well, so we can get you up to date on all the stuff that you need to know, which is always a good thing. Daryl Issa is inviting Kamala Harris to come and tour the border. It is great to welcome back to the program one of my favorite people, Michael Harrison from Talkers Magazine, talkers.com. And good to have you back here, Michael.
It's great to be back, Brett. How are you?
I am well. It was a very, very successful get-together. You pulled this thing off in a matter of weeks to get some of the highest-profile talkers there with you at Hofstra University on Friday. And I'd say the State of the Union in terms of talk radio is pretty robust right now, Michael.
Well, it's an exciting time. I mean, there are a lot of challenges, Brett. I mean, the world is changing. People are halfway between the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic, which is a whole weird era unto itself. People are not sure if they're working from home or they're staying going back to their offices. There's still a lot of politics and polarization. And the radio industry is facing all kinds of challenges because of the changing technology. So it's a time of opportunity, but it's also a time of you know, concern. It's challenging. I think that's a good word, wouldn't you say?
I think challenging is a perfect word. And yet, we have never had more access to information than we have right now. What we have in our pocket is equivalent to, you know, the greatest libraries in human history. But what we don't have is context. That's not readily available, and that's so much of what talk radio does for folks out there.
Yeah, to put it into context, to give it some type of perspective, some type of understanding. I think you hit it on the head. That's the problem. We do have a lot of data, a lot of information, but we don't know, we don't always know what's credible and what's not, because democratization of media, where anybody basically can have an equal platform to anybody else, it's sort of like giving every rogue nation a nuclear weapon. You don't know which one you can trust and which one would be very reckless. And media and the press is going through a whole new period of earning credibility, because the earning of credibility for a platform or for an individual person in journalism or media is the key to their effectiveness, to their productiveness, or to the danger that they could present to society.
One of the questions that I wanted to pose to you, and it sort of came up tangentially during the conference, and I get asked this by people who are just regular consumers of talk radio, and you know, people that listen to talk radio are devotees. They love the medium of talk radio. And it's sort of how it is you assess the picture out there in a post-Rush world. You know, I think there were a lot of people who assumed, well, somebody will take over for him, but what we saw was a lot of sort of fracturing and balkanizing a little bit. He was such a huge personality, as we both know. Are you surprised by the way this has kind of played out in the wake of his passing?
I'm not surprised at all. As a matter of fact, I predicted it, and it's playing out exactly as I thought it would. Yeah, he was a major personality and a major leader in the American conservative movement. But you know, the world turns and time moves on, and in place of there being one, you know, 800-pound gorilla in the room, we're going to have a lot of new people that are going to have an opportunity. That giant 600 station pie is going to be split into pies of 100 stations, 50 stations, 200 stations. We're going to see the emergence of a whole bunch of new hosts, some national, some local. So as much as, you know, we miss Rush and honor him for his contributions to not just American media and talk radio, but American politics and culture, I think that there are plenty of people in this industry to be able to maybe not take his place, right, but to fill a part of his place. And as a result of that, again, I look at it from the industry perspective, which is a publication publisher. I like to see other people get opportunities as well.
It is true. Look, that's a lot of stations to have locked down into one pod, as you said, and now you've got a lot more opportunity. Final question for you, because the audience is not as familiar with the sort of things that we talk about. Can you speak for a moment about the importance of local, about the importance of being that community stalwart? Here at WBT, we're going to be 100 years old this year. Many great radio stations with the three-letter names serve that similar purpose. Can you talk about the importance of that local messaging for folks?
I think that local is one of the major, major strengths of radio and one of its major responsibilities to have purpose. So although I do think it's wonderful to have national talent such as Rush, and hey, you've done your share of that as well. I do believe, though, that the institution of the radio station in a community plugged into the people, somebody on the air reading, you know, management and ownership that live in the area, I think that that is something that really serves the community and makes the radio station important as an institution within the community.
And that's something that's going to be almost impossible to replace, that context at the local level, giving people understanding of what it is that's out there. And hey, by the way, it's only 500 days until the next election. You know what I'm saying, Michael? So.
Oh, my goodness. Can we handle it?
I wanted to thank you once again. It was a remarkable event. It was a gathering of true aficionados, fans, lovers of talk radio, as hosts, as station heads, as syndicator heads. And it could not have happened without the great work of Michael Harrison, talkers.com. I appreciate you being there, my friend. And job well done. I'm looking forward to the next one.
You're so kind, and congratulations on your tremendous showing in the Heavy 100. and your consistent, successful broadcasting as a talk show host. Very proud of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. All the best, and we'll be in touch soon. That's Michael Harrison. Talkers.com is the website where you can go. You can read all about this industry. I just think it's so hugely important. And hearing people talking about the vitality and the importance of local. Local doesn't just necessarily mean talking about the local issues. It means being present here in the community and talking about the national issues, the local issues. Brett Jensen did amazing work last week with Audrey Kell and the look at CRT. Teachings, all that sort of stuff is absolutely vital, and I couldn't be more happy to be here at WBT. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. And News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. Let me jump out and grab a call. Let's talk to Trent. Trent, welcome to the Brett Witterbull Show. How are you? What's on your mind, sir? Hello, Trent.
How you doing, Brett?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I appreciate all that you do that helps us kind of keep us going and all that good stuff.
Oh, happy to do it.
Yeah. Hey, real simple here. I just want to talk about how government kind of provides inequities in our society, and I just don't think the answer is government. Mm-hmm. To solve inequities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've created them, and such as through welfare policies, food stamps, social services, the Affordable Care Act, etc.
Sure.
If you expect to get rich off of public housing and be able to make a way for your life on welfare, it just doesn't work out that way.
You know,
if you rely on government, they're going to give you the bare minimum, and it ain't going to allow you to be able to go out there and improve the quality of life that you have if you're willing to accept those bare minimum.
Yeah.
And I go back to education, where education recently, I'm talking about dealing with the No Child Left Behind, Common Core, taking certain, what do you call them, where you're actually working with your hands, you're doing well.
Oh, yeah, like blue-collar jobs.
Yeah, they're taking out of education and expect everybody to go the stream of college, and not everybody's meant to go to college. People can make great living off of working with their hands, doing air conditioning, building houses, roofing. Mm-hmm. They can do so many more things, bricklaying, et cetera.
Yeah, trades. And you got trades, absolutely. That's right.
And the way to get out of poverty is to, education. I've worked with the public school system for 37 years. This is my 37th year.
Wow.
And I didn't get rich off working in the public school system. I haven't actually made my way with the public school system. Mm-hmm. But I did actually start working some driver's ed. I did start driving buses. I did everything required some type of education. I had an 84-hour class for driver's education. Had to actually get my CDL for driving buses. Had to get trained for actually refereeing soccer, basketball, college volleyball.
Right. Well, let me jump in here because you've unpacked a lot of stuff here, Trent. No, I appreciate you being out there. Here's the reality. When you're in the business of government, government is your business. And so the answer, if you are Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi, if you are Mitch McConnell, if you're Kevin McCarthy, if you're Joe Biden, the business you're in is government, which means we have to constantly figure out ways to get government involved in the private sector. We have to constantly get involved in figuring out how we regulate things, because if we don't do that, we meaning government, then we're not really doing our job. And that's a huge problem. That's a huge problem if you're in the government business. If you're in the freedom business, you don't want to see government doing anything like that. I mean, think about this for a quick second. I'll get back to your original point, but think about this for a second. AOC is running around yelling and screaming that Stephen Breyer has got to retire from the Supreme Court. Stephen Breyer is a liberal justice, reliably liberal justice. And she's running around screaming that he's got to retire so that they can get another Supreme Court justice. Only somebody with the education like AOC has thinks seriously that replacing a liberal justice for a liberal justice is somehow progress. I mean, what she wants is somebody who's much more radical. Like, she would love to see Ilhan Omar on the Supreme Court. Okay. But there's Justice Breyer minding his business, and she's going on TV yakking at him that he's got to go away. That's not expanding the court. That's swapping out one for one. Now, if you're in the government business, that's an important thing. They told us they were going to pack the courts. Chuck Schumer told us that they were going to do it to us like he did it to Georgia. All this sort of stuff, and none of it works. Where's Kamala Harris today? South Carolina pushing vaccines. Do you not know that there are vaccines available? I mean, I'm serious. I know the talk radio audience is much more educated than many people. But is there any doubt as to where you can get a vaccine? You can go walk right into a Walmart right now and get a shot. Everybody knows that the shots are available. There's Kamala Harris coming into South Carolina, not South Texas, not Southern New Mexico, not Southern Arizona, not Southern California. The border. Hell, she's not even doing work on the For the People Act to try to fundamentally transform voting in America. She's out selling vaccines. And while we're at it, why does Joe Biden get to go frolic with the Europeans over there in France and Geneva and all those Cornwall and England and all that? Why does he get to go run around Europe and he sends Kamala Harris to the less desirable destinations like Guatemala City and Mexico City in June? How come Kamala Harris isn't going over to Europe? I mean, I'm going to stick up for her for a second here. How come she's not going over to Europe? Why does just Joe Biden get to go to Europe? So he sends her to Guatemala and he sends her to Mexico City and he sends her to South Carolina? Wait one minute here. Hold on. Is he trying to ice her out? Is there trouble in paradise? So, Trent, I'm not surprised that government always wants to expand. I'm not surprised that government is always looking to increase its role in our lives, because government doesn't have to live by one rule private businesses have to live by. You know what that is? Well, yes, budgeting, of course, but there's something even more. There is no metric for success with government ever. If you go get a job as a car salesman at a car dealership, you can get hired. You can look and say, how many cars did you guys sell last month? Okay, I want to sell X plus 10. I want to sell that number plus 10. And you've got a metric. What's the metric when it comes to government? Hey, did we add more people to welfare? Hey, did we add more people to food stamps? Hey, did we add more people? If you're a bricklayer, if you're a cement mason, if you're somebody who does air conditioning repair, if you're a commercial truck driver, whatever it is, you are required to follow the rules laid out by government, but the people laying out those rules in government aren't even experienced in the trades that you're in. They're not hiring expert bricklayers to tell you how to regulate bricks. They're hiring Adam Schiff and Fang Fang Swalwell. That's who they're hiring to make the rules on bricklaying. What do they know about laying a brick? Unless it's some kind of a weird date. I don't understand. So do not ever try to conflate the behavior of government and the behavior of the private sector. The private sector is more efficient. The private sector is more honest. The private sector is more transparent. Government is crooked and corrupt at almost every turn. At almost every turn. So, yeah, they're in the business of creating more dependency. It's because liberalism, as Rush famously said, is a gutless choice. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Now, we've got a Chinese nuclear leak. You got to be kidding me. We'll get you details on that straight ahead. But let me go out. Let me talk to Jim. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Welcome back. Welcome home.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I, for one, welcome you, giving you a good welcome home. Unlike those other callers, you know what those other callers prove? Those bad callers, they prove that you are indeed one of the most influential voices of radio. And remember, Talkers Magazine of all time, 83rd of all time, and they prove it. You're compelling, you provoke people, you get them to react, and That's a compliment. You should take it as a compliment.
Hold on. Let me interject here. TJ, we're not killing the show today. Jim is bringing his A game. Please go on, Jim. Enough about me. What do you think about me?
You know, the biggest problem with Biden And Putin meeting is the only thing that Putin is doing. He's doing the same thing when they meet. He's regarding him the same way Reagan regarded Andropov. He is just literally, he's just biding his time. He's a very robust leader, whether you like him or not. Putin is a, robust character, and Biden is just, he's just filling in for now. And he knows anything he says or does, he can just say what he wants to hear, and then we'll work around him.
You know, it's an unfortunate analogy, but I think in from Putin's perspective, it's probably how he is thinking. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, well, while he's over there, Secretary of State, you played some of his music.
Yes, right? I did. Tony Blinken, A. Blinken.
And, he has a new cover band called Gutless Salamander. It's probably probably a coincidence, right? That caller used that term.
It probably
you
is.
Hear some?
No, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear Gutless Salamander. No, we don't need.
No. But some of the covers they're doing. It's a cover band. They cover other people's music. Some of the
okay, go ahead.
Titles.
Yeah, hit me.
Some of the songs.
Uh-huh.
Well, Hey Joe.
They Hey Joe.
Play Hey Joe.
Yep.
An homage. Traveling Shoes. Elvin Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Big Old Jetliner, and one of their best songs is "Everybody Wants to Rule the World."
Yes, very good, well played. That is Jim bringing it. Absolutely no death in the programming today at all, and I appreciate you being there, my friend.
All right,
that is Jim. Oh, Lord. You know what? I got a craving for some Blinken. You wouldn't believe how many people call every day and say, "Can you play us some more Tony Blinken?" I literally had to restrain TJ earlier because he just wants to go wall to wall with the Tony Blinken. And I say, we got to space it out. There's plenty of time for Tony Blinken. Here's Tony Blinken talking tough on China. Cut 7.
It's in some aspects adversarial, uh-huh. In other aspects competitive, mm-hmm. And in other aspects cooperative. But the common denominator, and I think this is where these countries are coming together, is we need to be able to deal with China in all of those areas, coming from a position of strength and coming from a united position.
Okay. I want to invite you to call in and answer a question for me. A serious question. There's no shtick here. I'm not joking around. No joke, as the president would say. It's not a joke. How would the world respond if America had created and accidentally released or released on purpose the coronavirus? How do you think the Europeans, China, Russia, sub-Saharan Africa, the Middle East, how do you think the reaction would go towards the United States? And what would be the first thing that would happen in the United States if, in fact, we were responsible for the creation of the coronavirus and it got out of the lab? Either on purpose, I don't think we would do it on purpose, but it got out of the lab and got out there into the general population. 704-570-1110. Tell me how you think the world would handle that, would process that, would think about that in that regard. Would they say, I want to recue that clip, cut 7, Tony Blinken, would they describe their relationship with the United States as... Well, what was it that Tony Blinken said?
It's in some aspects adversarial, mm-hmm. In other aspects competitive, mm-hmm. And in other aspects cooperative. But the common denominator, and I think this is where these countries are coming together, is we need to be able to deal with China in all of those areas, coming from a position of strength and coming from a united position.
Yeah. You have between 5 and 11 million people who have died worldwide because of the coronavirus. 600,000 who have died here in the United States. In fact, I just saw a few minutes ago that apparently we're going to have a ticker tape parade in New York City for health heroes after the 600,000 deaths. Now, that's kind of interesting. Look, I was in New York, I think, for the last ticker tape parade, which was the wrap-up of the Gulf War in 91. It was in the summer of 91, and they had a ticker tape parade. I went down there for that. You had Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell. They were They were all in the open cars, you know, waving to everybody. But I want to know, what would happen? What would happen? Here, let me talk to Jim. Jim, what would happen if the United States had released COVID-19? How would the reaction go, Jim?
Well, it'd be very well expected. They would just crucify this country.
Mm-hmm.
It would be horrible.
Yep.
Whole world, especially what we consider enemies, which would be China, Russia, and all that. Yep. I was brought up here in a time where we were taught to kill communists, by the way. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it would be nasty, and they'd never forget it, never forgive us. And then our own Democratic Party, the left-leaning liberal folks, would chime right in and be right there with them. That's what I think.
Now, because you're old enough to remember that we once had to drop 2 atomic bombs to end the war and save humanity, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and we've been told, what, ever since, we're the only country that's ever deployed a nuclear weapon against innocent people. We're the only people that have ever done that. You know, we did it to end a war. Harry Truman made a very tough call, and he made the right call to end that war once and for all. Now, you're exactly right, except I would add one more piece. There would be a line from Charlotte to Los Angeles to file lawsuits against the United States, and they would win billions.
From New York to somewhere in Switzerland, probably.
That's right.
Everybody in the world will be filing it.
That's right. And that's somehow...
they're going to hold us accountable for everything. It's all about reparations, all this crap they're talking about now. It's, none of that should ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with the same thing with the Chinese. There's not going to be any reparations. They're going to just go on their merry way.
Right, that's right, because they know they've got all the power when it comes to trade. Remember, President Biden was asked just a couple of days ago, what about these aluminum tariffs? Are you going to take them down? Oh, it's only been 120 days. I can't think about that right now. I got to ask my staff. We got another great hour straight ahead. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. Our phone number, as always, 704-570-1110. We've been kind of mulling over and looking at some of these issues that are out there facing us, and we're facing a number of challenges in this country. No doubt, there's a number of challenges happening all around the world. In fact, as we full well know, but here's something you can set your watch by. Okay. The idea that what we've got to do is we got to tax people and take their stuff. Representative Thomas Suozzi, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Suozzi, Democrat, member of the Tax Writing House Ways and Means Committee, said he's exploring the idea of a one-time tax on the wealth of the richest Americans as Democrats seek to increase taxes on the rich in order to pay for spending priority. In an interview with The Hill on Friday, Suozzi said he's in the early stages of looking at what's called a Patriot tax. This would be a one-time surcharge of 2.5% on wealth between $50 and $100 million and a 5% tax on wealth above $100 million. Wealthy people would be able to pay Tom Suozzi over 5 years. I'm not even going to say the government. I'm just going to say they're going to pay Tom Suozzi because this guy's obviously going to have his finger in a cookie jar. Research provided by Suozzi's office estimates that such a tax could raise about $450 billion, which would be spent in like a minute. Tom Suozzi represents Long Island. You know, Tom Suozzi's district is right up there against the MS-13 taking over communities that are there in that part of Long Island. You think Tom Suozzi might be more concerned with border issues? No, he just wants to figure out how to steal money from people. The Suozzi tax. Forget the Patriot tax. The Suozzi tax. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got terrible news. The Suozzi outbreak has begun. We've been Suozzied. When are we going to get a prophylactic to protect us from being Suozzied? Suozzi said the surcharge he's explained. Don't you love these words? Patriot tax and a surcharge. The surcharge he's exploring would reflect the fact that many wealthy Americans were less hurt by the coronavirus pandemic than people with less income. And politicians were positively unhurt. We all know that people who are wealthy did very well during the pandemic, and people that were low-income people did not do well. Okay, so Suozzo, here's what I want you to do, Suozzi. assign every rich person with a wealth value above $100 million, 10 poor people to be responsible for the next 5 years. Seriously, just assign them five poor people and let them pay the freight. It's a much more efficient way of doing it. But when you come in as a progressive Democrat, a liberal, pinko commie leftist, and you come in and you seize people's wealth, you are no different than Hugo Chavez. I always say it like that. I say like I'm choking. Hugo Chavez and Maduro and Che and Viva Fidel. You're just like one of these strongmen dictators dictating the terms of what money we may be allowed to keep. You've already got the IRS, dude. You've already got the IRS. Now you want to have a surcharge? A surcharge. It's the weakest word in the government lexicon. Sorry, we're just going to have to charge a surcharge on this. No, it's a tax. Just call it a tax. The Obamacare surcharge, you remember that? Oh, we got the Obamacare surcharge. No, it's a tax. Now, I hope you run with this. I really, honest to goodness, I hope you try to do this. I think it's going to be yet another reason. I think at this point, they're probably down 45 seats in the House. Minimum. It's why Nancy Pelosi was unable to go hard at Ilhan Omar for being a raging anti-Semite, because she knows she's only got a 4-vote majority. She can't afford to lose the squad. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, the squad is the difference between Speaker Pelosi and Speaker McCarthy. AOC, Ayanna Pressley, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib. Those are the four people keeping Nancy Pelosi in that sub-zero fridge filled with ice cream. It's true. Now, will Speaker Pelosi pay the Swazi surcharge? Will Bill Gates pay the Swazi surcharge? How about Zuck? How about Dorsey? How about the Holly weirdos? Will they be paying the Swazi? You know darn well they're not going to pay the Swazi surcharge. You know it, and I know it. This is all for show. This character doesn't have the sense to understand that the American people don't care about rich people by and large. Only one group of people care about rich people. Politicians, because they see them for what they are, an unending source of vilification and money. That's it. I'll bet you Suazo, he's out there on Long Island. I bet he's out there rubbing elbows with the hedge funders and the guys that are living out there on the beach, including people like Billy Joel and other celebrity entertainers. And he's probably out there backslapping them and kissing their rumps. And then he comes back to D.C. and he goes, we gotta finally pull some wealth from these people. Your economic plan, Tom Suozzi, your economic plan, along with the Democrats and Joe Biden, has been to make workers scarce. You have outbid individual mom and pop businesses. You have gone to war with the strivers. Here's the funny little thing about the strivers. The strivers are going to win, and they're going to turn you out in 2022. You're going to be turned out on your ear, as you should be, because the only reason why Suozzo, Suozzi, Biden et al., the squad, Pelosi, Schumer, you name it, the only reason they exist is a check on your ability to earn income. See what I said in that last hour with that caller who wanted to know why it is we're subsidizing poverty. It's because this guy who's got a problem with MS-13 right in his backyard doesn't want to do anything on the border. You want to know why? Because all the rich contractors that live in his area that'll be immune from the Swazi tax are using them to underbid working men and women in America.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. I am Brett Witterble. Happy to be back with my good friend Bo Thompson. You know him from the Bo Thompson Morning Show, and good to have him back for Crossing the Stream. Crossing the Streams. You know, Bo, where I'm sitting right here, it's like super hot. It's like crazy hot where I'm sitting because I'm not in my normal, regular old facility. And I'm roasting in here. So if you suddenly hear me just like fall over, you know, don't worry. I'll be okay. I'm just going to drink a little cold water. Bo Thompson joins us
I'll ask Egon and see if we can get the safe of Marshmallow Man to bail you out here.
That, I may need that. I may need that. Welcome back. Good to have you here. Let me dive into this. Tonight's going to be a big night. The city council is going to be working on their budget, voting on their budget. What do we expect? Any surprises from this tonight?
Well, I'm watching the feed from the government center now. The meeting is underway. Tark Bakhari just tweeted, while I was in transition to come on the air with you, he said, the mayor just referred to the Budget and Effectiveness Committee, the topic of having at-large and mayoral elections on the schedule this year and only push back district races to early next year, given the census delay. The NC House voted to give us that authority last week. So, again, this is a reference to a committee. I don't know what the ultimate outcome of it will be, but that's happening literally as we speak. Tonight, the budget that they're going to vote on includes pay raises for the mayor, pay raises for city council members, which could see their pay rise 50%, council members, and the mayor's would rise about 30%. But this is, this is not necessarily, this is not new, but this is possibly going to go into effect tonight. So that's something to watch. And then one other thing that I just saw is that apparently Vi Lyles has announced that the city council is going to discuss a non-discrimination ordinance on August 9th. So suddenly here out of the box, we're starting to get some stuff on the board that could be percolating, and we'll see where we are by the time I hit the air tomorrow morning. But it,
whoa.
Needless to say, I think this is going to be one to keep your eyes on tonight.
You think it'll go late? Will they burn the midnight oil? Will they be sending out for takeout at in the wee small hours of the morning? What are we thinking?
You never know, man. I mean, I will say there's no public forum, so it won't extend it. I don't think it's the nuclear option where we're going into the early hours of the morning, but who knows?
I'm wondering, as you look at this, it does feel like we're getting back to regular business, right? Like regular political business. Not everything is pandemic related. Not everything is COVID crisis management. It's almost kind of exotic now after 16 months of what it is that we just lived through.
Yeah, and I'm looking at I don't have the full feed in front of me right now. You know, the way it's been going with city council meetings and county commission meetings is some of the staff and some of the elected officials are there. I mean, if we're using the example of city government operating, I know you're right. Talking about just in a general sense, but they and I imagine this is the same thing with many other companies. I mean, there are people that are slowly but surely. We work in a complex there at One Julian Price Place where we have our company and then a television company in the same building. And I noticed today walking in, it looked like there were more people in the parking lot and there were people carrying boxes in. So I think, if we are a microcosm of what's going on in Charlotte and around the area, I think, as people listen to us right now, they may have be experiencing that transition as we speak. But as city council has been operating where you have some people in person and some people choose to still be virtual, and I imagine, that's a pretty good comparison to what the private sector is reflecting.
Yeah, absolutely right. Have you seen this story coming out of New York that they want to do a ticker tape parade for the healthcare workers?
Yeah, apparently July 7th is when they're looking at doing this in New York City, which, I don't know, I certainly think the idea of doing something to celebrate frontline healthcare workers is a good idea. I'm surprised they don't just do it July 4th. I mean, to me, honoring healthcare workers is a patriotic thing, given the backdrop of the pandemic, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there is, a number of things that you can celebrate with these folks. I hope that at the end of all of this conversation, everybody gets recognized in the way they should. And what I mean by that is, I think it's been incredibly sad that men and women of law enforcement have been excluded when they were being celebrated right up until, March and April of 2020 as vital people who were transporting patients to hospitals and whatnot. And then suddenly, because of the act of one murderer in Minnesota, suddenly you've got to ice out all the cops. And I just would hope that if you're going to have healthcare workers, that you'd also include first responders like firefighters and cops. But that's just me. I'm kind of unconventional.
Well, no, that's not just you. That's me too. Absolutely. But I would say, and I The headline of the story says frontline healthcare workers. Why not just say frontline workers? Because
right.
You and I both know that frontline over the last 12 months or so is obviously healthcare, but it's also first responders. It's also, yep. I mean, come on, who's going to have to be in place so that this parade to honor those people is going to go
yes.
off without a hitch?
That's right. And by the way, ticker tape, there is no more ticker tape. I mean, come on now. It's just an excuse to throw paper out the window. I mean, the old stock ticker tape, that hadn't been the case since the astronauts went down the Canyon of Heroes, as they call it. So
it's frontline people that had to clean that up.
That's exactly right. Come on. Where's the sanitation workers? My gosh.
It's essential workers is what it comes down to.
Exactly.
I take nothing away from frontline healthcare workers.
Yep.
But I do right. believe that when you talk about honoring the people that kept this country together during
yep.
the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
it really comes down to
yep.
frontline workers. It should be more of
a group effort.
Sense.
It's a group effort, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw in pharmaceutical executives. Okay, enough of that nonsense. Who do we got coming up? Who we got coming up tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour on the Bo Thompson
Beth
Morning Show?
Troutman here on Tuesday is back with me this week, and we'll of course be watching what's happening at the city council meeting tonight. And you know, I don't know if people realize this. Beth's got quite the eclectic background. She was an anchor. For the NBC affiliate here in town, she also ran for office once. She's worked in LA in the Hollywood sector for a while. She's been all over the place. So there's not much that comes along that she doesn't have some sort of inside perspective on. But most of all, we just have a lot of fun. So she's back tomorrow from 9 to 10, and looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to hearing it, Bo Thompson. I appreciate you being there and popping in today, my friend.
All good. Have a great night.
You too. That's Bo Thompson. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brent Witterbull Show. See if you follow me on this one, because nothing happens that's a coincidence. The FBI has warned lawmakers that online QAnon conspiracy theorists may carry out more acts of violence as they move from serving as, quote, digital soldiers to taking action in the real world following the January 6th Capitol attack. The shift is fueled by a belief among some of the conspiracy's more militant followers that they can no longer trust the plan set forth by its mysterious standard bearer known as Q. According to an unclassified FBI threat assessment on QAnon sent to lawmakers last week, obtained by CNN. In other words, AOC handed it to CNN. But the report suggests the failure of QAnon predictions to materialize has not led to followers abandoning the conspiracy. Instead, there's a belief that individuals need to take greater control of the direction of the movement than before. That might lead to followers seeking harm of perceived members of the cabal, such as Democrats and other political opposition, instead of continually awaiting Q's promised actions, which have not occurred. According to the assessment, did the Q guy ever? I mean, I know that they do an investigation into this on like HBO or something to find out about the Q guy, and they found the Q guy and they named him and all that. Does he still post crap on the internet about secret information? I thought this all ended. Titled "Adherence to QAnon Conspiracy Theory by Some Domestic Violent Extremists," the public FBI threat assessment was provided at the request of Democratic New Mexico Senator Marty Heinrich, who, by the way, is, I think he's an architect. No, I think he's a mechanical engineer, who earlier this year revealed that the FBI had provided lawmakers with a version of the document in February that was designated, quote, for official use only. So, why does this come out now? Can anybody tell me why this comes out now at this juncture? Anybody know? Anybody know? Anybody know? Go ahead. 3, 2, 1. I'll save you the trouble. The reason why this is coming out now is because Pelosi and Schumer and McConnell and McCarthy do not need that Capitol reopening so that you can go and redress your grievances. Is really what it is. They want to bring back the National Guard and the 40-foot razor wire fence and the steel stuff and all that kind of stuff. This is about stopping you from having easy access to your lawmakers. It's true. Look, Muriel Bowser is going to do everything she can to block your access to Washington, D.C. Okay? But it's just not enough. It's just not enough. They need to lock you out permanently. Remember when I told you that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the president and vice president of Washington, D.C.? Remember when I went down the list 2 weeks ago and I broke down all the places Joe Biden had visited? And it's all like Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, D.C., West Virginia, Camp David. Boom. That's it. He doesn't go to any place like in America. Like Maryland's not America. Virginia's not America. D.C.'s not America. West Virginia's not really America. He barely goes to Michigan, and that's to look at a battery factory. He's never gone out to actual America except for Houston, Texas, which is barely really America. He doesn't go out to these places where Americans live, and they don't want Americans coming into Washington, D.C. to talk about how it is you're unhappy with Bidenism and Harrisism and Pelosiism and Schumerism and Squadism. They don't want that. So what they're going to do is they're going to keep churning these reports out, and they're going to keep saying things like QAnon may rear its head and may be a threat. Okay, so if QAnon, whoever that is, I don't know who it is. I never bought into QAnon. QAnon's never been my thing. I never did Pedogate, Pizzagate, Comet, Ping Pong Pizza, whatever. I never did any of that stuff. I had run-ins with those wackos back out on the West Coast, but they were few and far between. So, like, I don't know what the QAnon thing is. I'm a working man. I have responsibilities. I don't have time to spin the wheel of secret knowledge and divine what the communication missive is this month. It says I have to wear a red shirt and pink pants and take a lapel pin and put it into my belly button. I mean, I'm not interested. I care about policy. I care about Israel. I care about Iran. I care about the Russians. I care about China. I care about our jobs. I care about our border. Any of you guys involved in the QAnon, you just drop that act and pick up the stuff that really matters in this world today. Hell, when are we going to get inner city QAnon? When are we going to get inner city stuff that goes on where people advocate for the safety of people in cities that are being terrorized by people doing mass shootings? Austin, Texas. Mayor Adler, Democrat. Lori Lightfoot, Chicago, Democrat. Billy de Blasio, New York, Democrat. Garcetti, Los Angeles, Democrat. London Breed, Democrat. San Francisco, Durkin there in Seattle, Democrat. These Democrat cities have got mass shootings. It's so bad that in Baltimore, 30-plus businesses are threatening not to send money to the city coffers to protest gun violence. And I got the FBI. Are you kidding me? I got the FBI giving me a warning on these dopes running around in QAnon? What is that? This warning from Chrissy Ray, who says Antifa's just an ideology. Well, maybe QAnon's just an ideology. I don't know. You know, you look at this and you say, we got real serious situations here. Houston, Texas, right? That place where Biden went. Stash house, more than 100 people in bondage held hostage in a stash house in Houston, Texas. What are we doing about that? You got people right now in this community, in Charlotte, and in the sound of my voice, stashing human beings against their will in bondage. What are we doing about that? I don't give a rat's rip about QAnon, frankly. That's a pre-pandemic waste of time is what that is. When we had time on our hands. So the FBI comes out, oh, we're going to warn. Just like the FBI came out and the Department of Homeland Security came out and said, returning veterans are going to turn into terrorists because Biden and Obama hated the veterans. I mean, come on. This is so easy to debunk. They don't want the lockdown in D.C. coming to a conclusion, because that would mean you could go to D.C., sit across the table from a congressional aide and say, hey, I want my taxes cut. Hey, I want you to cut the nonsense with the money stopping people from working at my restaurant. It's really not difficult. And I know you know I'm right. You're getting played. Watching the next couple days, don't you think it's strange that they dropped this stupid QAnon report while Biden's over there running around with Putin? Come on. Come on, man. Not a joke. That's not a joke. Oh, it is that special time of the day.
Careful, don't be insincere.
I'm being totally sincere. I could not be more sincerer. Mark Garrison has a show called Charlotte at 6. It comes up, ironically enough, just after 6. Yeah. And he joins us now on the line for a peep and a peek. What's going on?
We got a lot going on. So we'll get an update to start with on the money fight between CMS and the Mecklenburg County Commission. They met today behind closed doors. You know, like this country song?
And when we get behind
That is great.
Oh, yeah. A little Charlie Rich there. Well, they met with a mediator trying to work something out. We know it was a longer meeting than expected, but I doubt they got much done, but we'll find out. The CDC is going to do a deep dive later in the week on why more than 200 teens have ended up with heart problems after getting the COVID shot.
That's sad.
It is. And at 6:35, you know what it is? It's Monday, our news quiz.
All right, now who's going to be the news whiz from the news quiz?
Good question. Anna was last week. She won by a mere point.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll see if TJ and Boomer can bounce back.
I've only done it once. I was so scarred. I could never do it again.
We're going to have to have you back.
No. Yeah, I wake up screaming in the middle of the night, and my wife, Sherry, will say to me, she'll be like, why are you yelling Vi Lyles? Why are you yelling Dina DiOrio? What's going on with you? And I'm like, oh, it's because of the news quiz. I've been scarred by it.
Yeah, I know. And we got some interesting questions tonight. It'd be interesting to see if... if Anna's been paying attention to her own newscast.
I'm going to try one on you. You ready?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Where is Joe Biden headed next?
To visit Rootin' Tootin' Putin.
Very good. Yep. Okay, you won. See? I already lost.
That's easy. Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, we're looking forward to it. I'll be tuning in, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Mark Garrison with Charlotte at 6. You know what I'm doing tonight? It's 6:30. Don't tell Mark Garrison this, though. At 6:30, I got to give I'm doing an appearance. It's not any place local. It's up in Hendersonville. I'm going to be speaking to NC11, to the North Carolina 11 group up there at one of their meetings. It's going to be virtual. I'm obviously not going to be able to make that drive in time, but we're going to talk about a lot of the challenges that we're kind of facing out there, and it should be an awful fun time. Also, I can't say what it is yet, but I am going to be doing a special event coming up at the end of June. And as I get more details on that, I will be able to share with you. And you're sitting there saying, wait a minute, dude, it's the 14th of June. Like, at what point are you going to tell us? I promise it won't be the day before, but, you know, I gotta work stuff out. Stuff's got to get worked out, and their people have to talk to my people, and we have to all get together as a people. You know what I'm saying? Ed is going to be up next. Ed, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, what I want to talk about is a change in the way the government is talking about things. Instead of using equality, they're using the word equity, and there's a huge difference. Equality means equal opportunity. Mm-hmm. Equity means equal outcome, which is what socialism is. And it's going on before our eyes, and the news people are covering it up and won't let the people know that we're turning socialist.
Well, here's what I would say about this. And I understand what your point is. Here's what I would say about this, though. Equity, right? I would hope that everybody's got equity in the system. And by system, I mean the government. I would hope that everybody's got equity. Everybody's got a piece of the representative government that is elected to represent us. I would hope that that would be the case. And that should be the case. And if it's not the case, then that's a problem, because we are all responsible for the horrible, boneheaded ideas that come out of the government. Eric is next up. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, buddy.
Mark Garrison just mentioned what the county commission's doing to withhold funds from CMS, and I think we need to look at the government the same way. In two ways businesses, I think, can do this. One is they need to band together. and altogether just say, moving forward, U.S. government, in order for us to send you taxes, there's now a 2% administration fee. And if everybody bands together and charges it, and when the government gets out of step, it goes to 3%, it goes to 4%, it goes to 5%.
Right.
The second thing we do, and I mentioned this before months ago, like they're doing in Baltimore, some of the businesses to their city.
Yep.
Put that money, we all take our taxes, we band together as a collective business unit in North Carolina,
yep.
Put all that money into a small interest-bearing account, and then pay it 30 days later. But we might as well get paid on this interest like the government does. Avoid escrow, because that doesn't often, but a savings account, and then we put them on net 60 terms, so we get the benefit of 30 days. But you got to hit them in the purse strings. Otherwise, we're just going to sit here and do the same thing. And what we do with that interest at the end of the year, we go back, we say, hey, there's $11 million in interest all of us earned, and you disperse that back out to all the businesses, reward for sticking together.
All right. I'm willing to try pretty much anything. I don't know if that's going to necessarily work, but we could certainly throw that out there. David is our final caller. David, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brett, what's up? How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Okay, so I was gonna mention the dangers of fake woke, but right quick, since you were talking about QAnon.
Yes.
I called last week. I'm the dude in the band. So I actually played a show at Comet Ping Pong, and trust me, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but when I did go there and play there, it was really creepy.
Okay. All right.
I know that doesn't mean anything, but I'm just telling you, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And the dudes from Fugazi were there to watch this and everything. Everyone was there. And
yeah.
It was just weird.
I'm not laughing. It's funny because there are people, like, I know who Fugazi is, and I know TJ knows who Fugazi is. So I'm just thinking of some little old lady driving home right now, and she's all like, QAnon and Comet Ping Pong, Fugazi was there. And it's probably freaking somebody. It's a band, by the way. Fugazi's a band.
Sorry. Full disclosure. Fugazi's a band. So, but it was weird. Honestly, I'm not trying to BS or anything like that.
I get it.
I'm not going to go there. All right. So I think you would agree. This fake woke culture.
Yes. Yes.
Super dangerous for our youth. Yeah.
For sure. That's Fugazi right there, by the way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So all these lefties, all these liberals that talk about, that don't want to talk about CRT, critical race theory.
Yes, right.
And the dangers of it. Like everyone online, they disappeared ever since Trump got out of office.
Yes.
They don't do anything anymore online. I don't think they realize, like, I've been researching it, and the people who want CRT, they, like, when you dive deep into it, they kind of want to go back to before civil rights. Like, they kind of want to segregate everyone to these groups again, like blacks.
No, it's an interesting thing, and we'll dive into this deeper tomorrow, David. I promise. I'm going to put it on the agenda for tomorrow. I do appreciate you calling in, and it's something that we should look into. I'll get Brett Jensen on there as well. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. I leave you on News Talk 1110 993 WBT.